It's good to see you this morning. I'm glad you're here. And I pray that by the time I get done, you'll still be glad that you're here. Are you ready? Not for me to preach, but are you ready for Christmas? No. I heard a no. Oh, that was an honest. There's someone honest out there in the congregation, okay? How do you get ready for Christmas? Think about this. The Berg, as I've come to call it, people say, where are you from? I'm from another large urban area on the other side of the state that's not mentionable in Pittsburgh. I guess the only larger crime could be I could be from Cleveland. But the Berg really, really intrigues me. It spends lots of money on decorating for Halloween. And I've never been a place that's so occult-oriented as Pittsburgh in the sense that it just spends lots of money. Now, I'm told that we spend more money in decorations for Christmas. But if God doesn't create a revival in our country, I'm pretty sure that Halloween's going to pass Christmas, okay? Because Halloween's not offensive to anyone other than God. But Christmas is offensive to everyone except true believers. So how do you get ready for his birthday? This is one of the things I could never convince my kids. Actually, I was in a congregation in New Jersey, my first congregation, and people thought I was mean. They thought I was a Grinch. I never gave Christmas gifts to my kids. And they'd say, why? I said, well, it's not their birthday. It's Jesus' birthday. The person who has the birthday gets the gifts, and the other people bring the gifts. But we got that all confused, okay? So it's his birthday. Now, how do you prepare for it? Let me suggest to you, because are there any visitors here today? No, most of you are in-house, okay? So I would like to read a passage of Scripture, and I will suggest to you, as only a professor would, to give you an assignment, okay? And since I only preach here every 7 years or so, you're pretty safe, okay? So the assignment is I want you to read the Gospels and what they say about Christmas, okay? Read Matthew. Go home this afternoon. You could do this all in one afternoon. Read Matthew chapters 1 and 2. And what does Matthew tell us about Jesus and help us to get ready? Well, Jesus is what? He's the son of Abraham, the son of David. He's in the royal line. You know all of that. And virgin born, you know, makes it pretty clear. I had to say this to a Catholic friend. I said, well, so much for the virgin birth when it said, you know, Joseph didn't know her until she had Jesus, and then he had other kids. So perpetual virginity of Mary is a myth that some people hold to. So we find that. And then also in chapter 2, what? The Magi. Well, where did they come from? Probably from Babylon, you know? When the Jews were in captive, they said, hey, a Messiah's coming. And so pretty interesting, right? The star arises, and they know, this must be the king of the Jews. Well, you know, Herod and killing all the kids in Bethlehem. So that's Matthew. Mark? Nada. Nothing from Mark, right? Why? Our best guess is that, you know, Matthew was written by Matthew, the disciple, for what? For Palestinian Jews to convince them that Jesus is the Messiah. Mark probably put together his catechetical material for Peter, for catechumens up in Rome. That's our best guess. But nothing on the birth. Boom, jumps right in. And Matthew, Mark goes real fast, right? You know, if it's snapshots in Matthew, Mark is this movie. Immediately, and then we're done. Nothing about that. Luke, we like that. The shepherds, you know, and all that stuff. We got Mary and Joseph. We've got Zechariah and Elizabeth and John the Baptist and Simeon and Anna and all that things that we didn't get in the other Gospels. And that's intriguing. You could read that in the first 2-3 chapters of Luke this afternoon. But I want to concentrate on what I think is probably the clearest description of Christmas. And I want to go over 6 or 7 wows. And my wife said, make sure they understand what you mean by wow. It's not in the text. We're going to go over seven amazing things in these first 18 verses of John that should prepare you for Christmas. Because I want you to really, really respond this way. Yes! Yes! The promised one is finally here. Finally here. Remember back in the garden when Adam and Eve messed up royally? What did God do? He didn't wipe them out. He said, look, the seed of the woman will come and what? Crush the serpent's head. He'll be bruised, but he will crush the serpent's head. And finally, is he coming? Is he coming? You know, Adam and Eve have a son, and certainly not Cain, that's for sure. You know, and Abel, it's not him, and Seth replaces. They're looking. Is it? We're actually told by Peter in 1 Peter that angels longed to look into this. You understand angels are watching today? There's angels and demons watching this worship service today. And they can't get it, but you can. Why? You've been bought by the blood of the Lamb. You have a privilege that other people in the universe, other creatures, do not have. You are a special object of God's affection and love. We get all gooey over the manger, don't we? Everybody likes little Jesus. You know, can control Jesus there, but he doesn't stay, as our brother said, he didn't stay in the cradle. Okay? So I want you to be awed and wowed. Okay, so let me read this again in a different translation, and then I'll preach out of the ESV, which is your pew Bible. Listen to this. This is a translation by a good friend of mine, Jay Adams. At the beginning, the Word already existed, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Everything came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of human beings. The light is shining in the darkness, and the darkness hasn't suppressed it. A man named John appeared who was sent from God. He came to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. He wasn't the light himself, but he came to testify about the light. The genuine light that gives light to every person came into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, but the world didn't know him. He came to his own creation, and his own people didn't receive him. But to as many as did receive him, he gave the right to become God's children, to those who believe in his name, who are born neither of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now the Word became flesh and tented or tabernacled among us, and we saw his glory, glory like that which a unique son receives from his Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about him when he called out in these words, quote, this is the one about whom I said, the one who follows comes before me because he was before me. From his fullness we all have received grace upon grace. Now the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Nobody has ever seen God at any time. It is the unique God who is closest of all to the Father, who has explained him. Let's pray. Father, as we consider this word imprinted on our hearts, that we might be ready for celebrating the incarnation of your Son, the coming of the Savior, the one who's going to crush and has now crushed the Satan's head so that we can be saved. Pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Okay, if you take your Bibles, let's go through this passage quickly. There's seven things that make me go, wow, this is incredible. I don't know about you. I'm older than most of you. Anybody older than 73? No, so I'm the oldest dude here, okay? So I'm older than all of you, some of you put together. You know, I'm older than three or four of you put together, okay? What's the first thing when you read this that strikes you and go, wow? The first thing is this, that Jesus is, just to use the terms we use, but he's the second person of the Trinity. Let's go through the first verse there. In the beginning was the Word. That's a title for Jesus, the Word. What is a word? The word has a meaning, and it communicates, right? If I call you by name, that stands for you. The Word, Jesus, is God's communication to us. It says, in the beginning, or as Jay translates, at the beginning, before the world began, when the world first was spoken, Genesis 1:1, into existence, guess what? Jesus was there. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Now, you don't get that in English, but literally in the Greek it means this. What? Face to face. Okay? If I turn like this, I'm not with you, right? But if we sit down at the table and I look at you square in the eye, face, that's what it means. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was face to face with God. Okay, that sort of makes sense, but then it goes what? The Word was face to face with God, and the Word was God. That's why we have this doctrine of the Trinity. Now, when your Jehovah's Witnesses come to your door and they tell you the Trinity's not biblical, men made it up, you go, dude, okay, the word Trinity is not in the Bible, right? I agree, okay? However, the concept is there. What are you going to call it? So here's the picture. At the beginning, when the world was spoken into existence, there's Jesus face to face with God, and he is God. You can't make any sense out of that unless you have what we call the doctrine of the Trinity. That's a wow when you think about that. Now, again, we think of Jesus in the cradle or on the cross as our Savior. We'll get to that. But think about this. This is why it's so hard for a Jew, right? This is Jehovah God, Yahweh. This is the God that made the universe. This little Jewish guy, see what I'm saying? See what the problem is? I made the world. Oh, yeah, great. Yeah. Jesus wasn't somebody that would have made it on somebody magazine. We know from Isaiah 53, it was very plain. Obviously, by the way, throw out all those old Sunday school pictures. He doesn't have blonde hair and blue eyes. You've never seen a Jew from Palestine that ever looked like that, okay? Unless they emigrated. Okay? That's the second person of the Trinity. Isn't that amazing? That's mind-boggling. How he can be God and with God. There's no explanation other than there's only one God, not three. But somehow within the Godhead, there's already fellowship. We're going to see. That's who you're invited to. Christmas is about you being sucked into. You never become God. Obviously, look at me. You're not mistaking me for God. You know, I'm looking at you. You're not God, okay? But you're in this fellowship with the second person of the Trinity. This is incredible. And you ought to go, wow. Okay? And it goes, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness. It's a second wow is this. Why? He's the creator. Right? Your words don't do much, do you, right? You say to your dog, don't do that. Does your dog listen to you? No. Do your kids listen to you? No. But when God speaks, something happens, right? He spoke everything. The pew that you sit on, okay, all the wood that's in there, the molecules, the subatomic particles in that pew, and you, every bit of you, none of it would exist if it wasn't for Jesus of Nazareth. Now you understand why a lot of people, Jews, Muslims, and others, think this is crazy stuff? But this is the truth. This is incredible. There's nothing that exists without Jesus making it. That's another wow. I can't believe it. There's a lot of people out there that hate, okay? It might get you someday and say, if you confess Jesus, I'm going to cut your head off. And you go, well, guess what? Jesus made the knife that you're going to use. He made you, and you're going to have to answer to him. That's the reality. There's nothing that exists today that God did not make through the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody knows this, but guess what? My father owns Heinz Field, right? By the way, that's Heinz Cathedral. I mean, I'm not trying to get on you Yinzers, but that's where most of Pittsburgh worships, right? There's more people concerned about what happens tonight in that stadium than what happens here today. But Jesus made the stadium. He allowed people to put it together. You see, that's the mind-boggling. He's not only the second person, the Trinity, he has created everything that exists. Wow. Your father owns everything. The world just hasn't got the memo yet. It's on loan to them, and they'll have to answer how they use it. The third great wow is in those same verses. What? He's the light of the world. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. Right now, not only is Jesus the second person of the Trinity who created everything, everything continues because of him. The people who don't love Jesus, the only reason they have life is that Jesus has given it to them. Or as one man said, if you try to spit in the face of God, the problem is gravity. It'll come back and hit you in the face. Jesus is not only the second person of the Trinity, the creator of everything, he's the sustainer of everything. And we know from the Bible, you know, God spared the ancient world. Remember with the flood, when people were so violent, God wiped them all out, and he spared Noah and his family? It's because of God's kindness and grace so that you and I could be saved. He not only creates everything, he sustains everything. And the fourth wow is in those verses too. He's what? The light of the world. You go through the Gospel of John, you'll see that. I'm the light of the world. The darkness doesn't suppress it. Jesus gives meaning to everything. He gives meaning to everything. And a lot of people struggle. Maybe you struggle. You have friends that struggle. Why are there wars? Why are there rumors of war? Why do people get cancer and die? Why do marriages break up? Why do people get high on drugs? There's a lot of things that we can't explain. But Jesus is the light of the world, and he explains all of those things in the light of the Word of God. By now, you'll be getting excited. This is the birth of what? The second person of the Trinity, the creator and sustainer of the world, who gives what? Light to every person that walks in the world. You're going to find out, you go to college, people think they're smart. I found out that a lot of our universities are filled with brilliant fools. They're filled with brilliant fools because they can't see the light of the world, because God has withheld that from them. Well, how's the world respond? What's the world do? They're happy if Jesus stays in the cradle, right? They may not like that. Oh, we don't want to offend anybody. There's a whole bunch of other we can't even wish people a Merry Christmas or a Blessed Christmas anymore without them getting offended. You know, I feel like saying, dude, you've stolen our holiday from us. This is all about Jesus. I mean, I'm not going to make you worship Jesus. Don't put up a creche. Don't do anything, you know, that you don't want to do. But here's the deal. Why can't I say Christmas? Why can't I mention the name of Christ? It's the one thing that in our public education system is hated. It can be anything else you want. What does it say? It's very interesting. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. That's John the Baptist. Okay? He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not that light, but came to bear witness about the light. the true light, that's Jesus, what? Which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own creation, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Jesus is despised by everyone except those who he's opened up their eyes. You have relatives, some of you, don't you, that don't love Jesus. They really believe you're a nutcase. And with all these wows, you can understand, unless God opens up your eyes. Why? Second person of the Trinity? What's a Trinity? If there is a God, a creator, a sustainer, a one that explains it, that's ridiculous. The incarnate Son was not welcomed. No room for him in the inn. Herod wanted to kill him as a rival. Now again, this is background. You got two Johns here. You have John the Baptist, you know, we know that later in the chapter you'll see, "Behold the Lamb of God, takes away the sins of the world." But you also have John who wrote this. Now again, liberal scholars will try to say, well, there's no mention of John's name in the book. Hello. But he is the beloved disciple. And John, the Apostle John, was probably the closest human being to Jesus Christ, even closer than Mary, even though she carried him in her womb for 9 months. She gave birth to him. She suckled him at the breast. Mary was close to Jesus, but John knew him better than anybody else. Remember, this is the John that later on, hey, my brothers don't believe, my sister don't believe. Here, you take Mary. He's dying on the cross, and he gives John the job of taking care. Now, we know that John was in jail, right? At Patmos, the island prison off of what is present-day Turkey. So we know that John was up in Ephesus, great congregation, right? Paul founds it. John pastors it later on. Incredible congregation. But John's in Ephesus, and he's got a problem. We'd put it, it's a PR problem, right? Public relations problem. Why should I, a Gentile, believe in a Jewish Messiah that Jews don't believe in? Hello, right? Okay. John does this here. Paul's version of that is Romans 9, 10, and 11. You're probably familiar with that, being Calvinistic. The bottom line is, it's not mainly about Calvinism, although that's there. That's the big issue. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. Anybody Jewish here, ethnically? Not a one of us, right? Anybody up in the balcony? Maybe you got a hand up there, I can't see it, okay? No, nobody's Jewish. As many as receive him as what? The Messiah, the second person of the Trinity, the creator, the sustainer, the light of the world. Anyone who receives Jesus as who he is. If you want to see this, go read at the end of the book, John chapter 20, verses 30, 31. Many other signs Jesus did, but these are recorded that you might believe that he is the Son of God, and believing that might have life in his name. That's the purpose of this. There's other purposes, I think, secondarily, to reassure everybody. Peter still is an apostle. Yeah, he blew it big time, but guess what? Jesus restored him 3 times, even though he denied him 3 times, chapter 21. And the other one is, by the way, he didn't say, I'm going to live till he returns. Don't you know your conditional clauses? You know, if, you know, remember Peter says, Peter's restored, he's forgiven, right? Love Peter, right? John MacArthur calls him the apostle with the foot-shaped mouth. So as soon as he's restored, And Jesus says to him, Peter, you're going to get your martyrdom. You're going to die for me the way you wanted to. What about John? Jesus doesn't do that, but he just says, mind your own martyrdom. He says to him, what is it your business if I say I want him to return, stay until I return the second time? And then he goes, he didn't say I was going to stay till the second coming. What if? Okay, so all that's thrown in. But you see, the book is there to convince you and to me that Jesus is the Christ. This is incredible. Friends, do you realize how privileged you are? You are privileged, not only because you live in a free country and nobody's going to come in here and arrest me, you know, or shoot me for preaching the gospel, at least this week. Things are changing, you know. And if your pastor preaches through Romans 1, he just might get arrested for a hate crime soon. But that's coming to your neighborhood theater. But, you know, the bottom line is, you know the truth. You know that Jesus is who he says he is. He's the second person of the Trinity. He's the creator, the sustainer, the light of the world. He's opened up your eyes. Kids, you young kids that are raised in Christian homes, man, you should thank God every day of your life that you are raised in a Christian home to hear the gospel. Don't be an idiot like I was, okay? I had to get to seminary to get saved. Because salvation is more than knowing the truth or even agreeing with the truth. You have to trust it. So this is incredible. The rest of the world is blind. They can't see. They don't know where they're going. But you've seen the light of the world. Wow. I mean, I know you're Baptist, but you ought at least be dancing a little bit. Come on. Can I get an amen? Not even an amen out of a Baptist congregation? Come on, what's wrong? You Baptists are too uptight. You should be like us Presbyterians, man. Freer, expressive, and everything like that, okay? Well, how does this come? It's real simple in the text, the new birth, right? Why do anyone receive him? Why would anybody believe that this little Jewish guy running around Palestine 2,000 years ago, he's the actually creator of the whole universe? Why would you believe that? Only because you've been born again. Only because God has poured out his spirit on you and opened up your eyes. I hope none of you are cage Calvinists, okay? We have that phrase around the seminary. You become a Calvinist, you know, you have to be locked in a cage for 5 years because you're not fit for human consumption, okay? You can napalm Arminians from 500 yards out, okay? That's not what we need, okay? You're saved by grace through faith, and even the faith is a gift of God. It should humble you, okay? The new birth as well, I think they're both there, and the adoption. He gives you the right to be the adopted son or daughter of God, who were what? Born not of human, but of divine nature. Well, the last well is what? Jesus is the real deal. Do you get that? Jesus is the real deal. Listen to the end of the passage, okay? Verses 14 to 18. And the Word, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. Literally tabernacled among us. It's a reference back to the Old Testament. Remember the tabernacle and the temple? That was the representation of God's presence among his people. And you know that that's picked up in the New Testament. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So Jesus becomes flesh in the womb of Mary, okay? And we have seen his glory, the glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then he goes on to say, look, Moses gave the law. Is there anything wrong with the law? No. The law is perfect and holy and good. That's what Paul says. But the law can't save anybody. Right? In fact, the rules, kids, you especially, right? What happens when your parents say, don't do that? What happens? Be honest. What happens? Deep down, you kind of go, why? Why? They don't want me to go on the grass. The grass is good. I'm not going to hurt the grass. I want to go on the grass. See? Right? That's our sinful nature. We want to rebel. The law, I can tell you a zillion times, don't do that. I can even give you 20 good reasons why you shouldn't do it, because it'll hurt you, etc., etc. And guess what? You'll still want to do it. Where does grace come from? Jesus. And it's truth. It's not like the law wasn't truth. It has to be truth in the sense of reality. The law was a shadow. It was the shadow. Only Christ can put life into you. He came, okay, this was, you know, and he was, and the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. We have seen the glory is the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him, John the Baptist, and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he existed before me. And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side has made him known." Why do the non-Christians in our country and in the rest of the world continue to live? Only the kindness of God. Only the kindness of God. Grace. More time to repent. I don't know. You might be here this morning, drugged here by parents. You might be here just as a visitor with friends. But the question is, where are you with Jesus Christ? Does this excite you? Or is it kind of, you know, let me share my sins with you, at least some of them. Some are too gross. I won't do that. But, you know, as a little kid, I used to count the gifts. None of you were like that, right? My sister got 3 gifts and I got 5. I hope that's not what's exciting you about Christmas. It's okay if you like special food. You know, maybe there's special food that people make around this time of year. Yeah? That's okay. But is it the grace and truth of the Lord Jesus Christ? Let me ask you a very personal question. When's the last time you came here? We're having communion this morning, right? When was the last time you just broke down and cried? Said, "I can't believe that he would love me like that." Second person of the Trinity, the Creator, the Sustainer, and the Redeemer of all things. He would do that for me, and he would pass others by. If you're here today and you think, gee, God should save me, I'm really, you know, well, I'm not that great, but I'm better than 10 other people here, okay? You don't understand grace. The reality is that Jesus Christ is the only thing between you and eternal damnation. You know, I'd encourage you, read all these gospel accounts, but particularly hear the beginning of the Gospel of John and see if you don't walk away going, wow. That's incredible. I can't believe it. The second person, the Trinity. I can't even get my head around the concept of the Trinity. But Jesus is God. And he created all things. And he keeps them together. And he explains them. I don't need a college education. Nothing wrong with it. But I don't need a college education to understand the universe. If I understand Jesus and who he is and what he's done, I understand all things. I have that, and that even though the world has rejected him, he has opened up and given me a new heart. Because why? Grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. Isn't that mind-boggling? That God would take on a body and blood because you and I can't be saved apart from his perfection and his blood shed on that cross. At least in your heart, I hope your little heart's beating and dancing for joy. Okay. Where are you this morning, and are you ready for Christmas? Christmas really comes from understanding these gospel accounts. Are you ready for Christmas? Do you believe? And remember, belief is not just knowing and agreeing. By the way, did you understand that Satan is a Trinitarian Calvinist? Might even be a Baptist. I don't know, but his theology is impeccable, right? In fact, he's a little smarter than us. What does it say in James? The demons, they tremble because they see the holiness of God. Okay? Remember, he never stayed in the cradle. He went to the cross, and he didn't stay in the grave. He ascended to the right hand of his Father, and he's now crowned with glory. Beloved, believe and receive the grace of God. May you have a sevenfold wow experience of Christmas. Let's pray. Father, we pray now that as we come to the table, that we might just be overwhelmed that you, the triune God, would make us your children through the life, death, resurrection, and intercession of our Savior who's in heaven. May we never, ever fall into the commercialism of Christmas. May we never forget the real reason, that Christ is the reason for the season. And it's first of all for your glory, and second of all for our good. May we praise you and adore you now in Christ's name. Amen.